الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے اقتباسات کے حوالے سے میں گزشتہ خطبات میں معرفت الہی کے طریق، محبت الہی کے طریق اور اللہ تعالیٰ کی
In my last few Friday sermons, with reference to the extracts of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, I have been expounding the ways of attaining knowledge and understanding of God, the love of God, and the reality of the being of God. Today I will present the extracts of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, from this scholarly and intellectual treasure. In these, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, elucidates the reality and truth of nearness to God the Almighty, some of the methods and means of attaining this divine nearness, its significance, and the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace's expectations that he had from his Jamaat in this respect. Explaining the fact that in order to reach and find God, it is important to have the insight and the perception that true and real piety lies in the being of God. Piety emanates from Him alone. It can be attained by abiding by Allah the Almighty's teaching. Subsequently, this grants one divine nearness and blessings. The Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, "In the real sense, no one is pious except God the Almighty. All good or high morals and all virtues are in Him in their entirety. As much as one breaks free of one's nafs, that is self, and one's desires, and gains nearness to God instead, one is able to reflect divine qualities in his person accordingly and to that degree. That is to say, as much as one rises above his nafs, his selfish and egotistical desires, and instead strives to acquire the nearness to God the Almighty, to that same degree, one is able to attain divine nearness. The divine attributes and morals then reflect upon his character. This will be the result of when one rises above his desires, leaves aside his whims and wishes, and instead makes an attempt to immerse himself in Allah the Almighty. Subsequently, the divine attributes, the divine qualities then begin to reflect in the individual. As much as he begins to reflect the divine qualities, to the same degree he will be enabled to continuously and increasingly follow the divine commands. The Promised Messiah thus continues, "Whatever qualities and true refinement one attains is by virtue of the divine nearness. And so it should be, since creation is nothing on its own accord." So the reflection of high divine attributes and qualities reflects on the hearts of those people alone who follow the Holy Quran perfectly. The divine attributes and qualities are reflected in such a person who completely and perfectly follows and abides by the Holy Quran. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, and true experience shows that the kind of high morals which are replete with pure and clear spiritual discernment and love emanate from these people, and they are incomparable in the world. Indeed, each person or any person can make a verbal claim, and everyone can boast. But only these people successfully negotiate the rather narrow passageway of true experience. If others show high morals, they are only out of formality and pretentiousness and showing off. So those people who make an effort to fully reflect the divine attributes and completely abide by the Holy Quran's commands, only will such a person truly and appropriately display good morals. If anyone else does display any morals, or if apparently or outwardly anyone else does display morals, then it is out of formality, pretentiousness and showing off. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, they hide their foulness and ailments and impurities and conceal their maladies and exhibit false refinement. So the rust and corruption and impurities is concealed by them. They are not true morals. In truth, it is like makeup or a covering. It is formality and showing off. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, they exhibit false refinement. They have hidden everything, and their veneer comes off in trivial trials. That is, the reality is exposed at the smallest of trials. There are personal cases and trials. At such a time, it is discovered. Everything is exposed. The line between truthfulness and falsehood is completely vanished, and everything comes to light. One comes to learn how much one is lying and how much of the truth is being concealed. How much of morals are actually being displayed also is discerned. Even if this is not the case, there is an example cited by Hazrat Musleh Maud. In one place, there were very well educated and intellectual persons who were apparently the leaders and the top level people of the society. It was decided in their meeting or gathering that on that day there should be a very informal gathering. So the level of their informality was such that every type of vulgarity, obscenity and vain thing was demonstrated there. So the reality was exposed. So the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, they often consider exhibiting high morals out of formality and pretense because they deem the success of everything to do with their life and living in this. Why do they display this formality and pretentiousness? Because in their worldly and materialistic matters and affairs, in the worldly society, they believe that it is necessary to display these morals by which they will gain personal benefit. This is why they display them. They do not display them with the aim to attain the pleasure of God. So the promised Messiah continues, if they were to follow their inner foulness and impurities all the time, it would interfere in their escapades and matters in life. That is to say, the impurities and filth that is found in their hearts, if they were to follow them at all times, then their materialistic ways and worldly affairs would be negatively affected and would be hindered. So for this reason, the purpose of their displaying morals or good morals is purely vested interests, not to actually display good morals in themselves, not to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, and not to benefit anyone else. So the promised Messiah continues, although they have some inherent seed of morality in them, but most of the time it is suppressed under the thorns of selfish desires, and is made evident only with the adulteration of their vested interests, and not purely for the sake of Allah. Only those take this inherent quality of goodness to His excellence who become gods, seeing their souls completely free of fondness for all else. God fills them with His pure morals and makes them love those morals as much as He Himself loves them. Because they do everything for the sake of Allah the Almighty, because they remove themselves completely from the filth of associating anything with God the Almighty, Allah the Almighty fills them with His qualities. The Promised Messiah continues, and makes them love those morals as much as He Himself loves them. So, as mortals, they attain a status of divine morals in a sense that they become instruments of God through which He demonstrates His morals. And finding them thirsty and hungry, He makes them drink the lucid, pure and sweet water of His special fountain. That is to say, He gives them the sweet water of morals and spirituality. Then the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in one place, explaining the ways of attaining nearness to Allah the Almighty, says, God the Almighty is not deceived. He only makes those His special friends who swim in the river of His love, naturally, like fish. They remain His, and are completely devoted to obeying Him. So thus, a truthful person can never make a statement that everyone apart from God Almighty is impure. And neither anyone has been purified, nor will be purified. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam here is referring to the concepts and notions of certain people and certain religions. So the Promised Messiah continues, as if God Almighty created His servants in vain. Real spiritual knowledge expresses that it is the way of Allah from the very beginning with mankind, that He has purified those who love Him. Indeed, God Almighty is the fountain of true purity and pureness. God Almighty puts quality in those who are engaged in His remembrance through zikr, worship, and love. And thus they also partake this purity by way of reflection, the purity which is inherent in the being of God Almighty. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wa salam, explaining that these good and high morals, piety, and the means of obtaining divine nearness and the model and teaching by which we should follow and adhere to, which God the Almighty has presented before us, is the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's complete obedience. So the Promised Messiah says, we also believe that even the lowest stage of Sirat al-Mustaqim, the right and straight path, cannot become available to a person without following the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, let alone the higher stages of that path. We cannot attain to any stage of honor and perfection or of nearness to God the Almighty, except through the true and perfect following of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We cannot attain to any stage of honor and perfection or of nearness to God except through the true and perfect following of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever is bestowed upon us is by way of reflection and through the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Then explaining what the reality of Islam is and how a Muslim should be, and what standard and level a Muslim should take his nearness to God. The Promised Messiah says, the reality of Islam is to present one's neck to God like a sacrificial lamb, to give up all of one's own wishes and desires and designs, and to be devoted to the designs of God and to His pleasure, to lose oneself in God and to impose a type of death upon oneself, to be dyed in the personal love of God, and to obey Him entirely for the sake of that love. to obtain eyes that see only through him, and to obtain ears that hear only through him, to develop a heart that should be wholly devoted to him, and to obtain a tongue which should speak only at his command. This is a stage where all search ends. Human faculties complete their functions and man's ego dies completely. Suluk here means that a person makes an effort to attain Allah the Almighty and endures all difficulties and sufferings on the way in order to attain God. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, this is a stage where all search ends. Human faculties complete their functions and man's ego dies completely. Thereupon, divine mercy confers a new life upon the seeker through his living words and his shining light. He is honored with a delightful converse of God, a fine light which is not discoverable by reason and is not recognizable by the eyes, approaches close to his heart, as it is said by God, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ, that we are nearer to him than even his jugular vein. In this manner, God honors mortal man with his nearness. Then the time comes when blindness is removed, and eyes are given insight, and man beholds God with his new eyes, hears his voice, and finds himself wrapped in the mantle of his light. Thus, the purpose of religion is fulfilled, and having beheld God, man casts aside the dirty garment of his lower life, and puts on a garment of light. The filthy life that he leads, and he puts aside that dirty garment of various filthy things, is thrown away by the person when he attains that much closeness to God. And he instead puts on a garment of light. He wears a new garment which is filled with spiritual light. He waits for a sight of God and of heaven, not merely as a promise to be fulfilled in the hereafter, but in this very life, in this very world, he waits for a sight of God and of heaven, and he attains it. Then, mentioning the two types of istighfar, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, istighfar, which strengthens the roots of faith, has been defined by the Holy Quran in two ways. The first meaning of istighfar is to stop committing sin, which overwhelms a person when he is separated from God, and to anchor one's heart in His love, and to seek help of Allah the Almighty by losing oneself in Him. This is the istighfar for those people who are near to God, to always do istighfar so that God Almighty is remembered at all times. And so that the love of God continuously strengthens in a person. This istighfar is characteristic of those who are so close to Allah the Almighty that they consider even a momentary separation from Him worse than death. That even if for a single moment they are separated from God, they deem it equal to being destroyed. This is why they carry out istighfar. They continue to seek God's forgiveness so that He may forever keep them immersed in His love. The second meaning of istighfar is to free oneself from sin, to hasten towards God, and to be captivated by His love, just as a tree is held firmly by the earth, so that by growing in piety, the human heart may escape from the aridity and decay of sin. Both these states are called istighfar. Explaining that there are many stations to recognize God the Almighty, but the highest of these ranks and stations is divine nearness, through which God can truly be recognized. So therefore, one should not be content and happy at just receiving true dreams or even revelation or visions. For even Balaam had received revelations, yet he stumbled despite this. This is why you should search for nearness to Allah the Almighty, and this can be attained by connecting to those who are the chosen ones of Allah the Almighty, who are constant recipients of nur, spiritual light, from Allah the Almighty. And he constantly blesses them. A person's ultimate objective is to obtain the pleasure of Allah. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, God is light, as he states, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. A person who only sees the outward signs of this light is like that person who sees smoke from a distance but does not see the light of the fire. He remains deprived of the benefits of this light. The benefits of the light are gained by immersing oneself in God. So the promised Messiah continues, as well as from its heat which burns the foulness of humans. It burns the filthiness or impurities of the human self. So the human weaknesses and faults that are in a person is deprived from that fire which burns all of this away. So the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, so those who accept the existence of God the Almighty via recounted or logical arguments or supposed revelations like the apparent ulama, the religious leaders or philosophers, or those who only accept the existence of God the Almighty born out of their spiritual powers, that is, their capacity to receive dreams and visions, but are deprived of the light of divine nearness. Now in this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says they have logical or intellectual arguments. Sometimes they rely on dreams and they come to believe in the existence and being of Allah the Almighty, that there is a God. That is the apparent ulama. This is the reason why they believe in God. Or such philosophers, or such people, who do have that much spirituality, that sometimes they have the capacity to receive visions and dreams. And for this reason, they accept and believe in God. But despite all of these things, they are deprived of the light of being close to Allah the Almighty. They are like that person who sees from afar smoke emerging from fire, but does not see the light of the fire, and merely accepts the existence of fire by looking at the smoke. Then, further explaining the various stations of divine nearness, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, because there are different stations of divine nearness and connections with God, the various ranks and stations of meeting and connecting with God are different. So therefore, when a person who may be close to God contends with a person who is far advanced than him in divine nearness and love, it ultimately results in the person who is at the lower stage of divine closeness not only becoming ruined, but also meeting his death in a state of faithlessness, just as it happened to Balaam when he contended with Moses, peace be upon him. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says the highest station of this divine nearness was that of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And now we see in this era, in perfect obedience of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and due to completely following him, God has given this station to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Today, in this era, anyone who separates himself from the promised Messiah alayhi salam and looks for this closeness and nearness will ultimately end like that of Balaam. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says that divine nearness is attained through the Holy Quran, and Allah the Almighty displays signs for such nearness. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, it is made evident by God to anyone who contends with a person who truly follows the Holy Quran through his awe-inspiring signs, that he is with the person who follows his word, just as he made it evident to Lake Ram, and his death took place in such a way that he understood very well that through it God had put a seal on the truthfulness of Islam. Thus, through his living powers, God draws a follower of the Holy Quran closer and closer and takes him to lofty heights of divine nearness. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, it should be remembered thoroughly that there is benefit in everything. We see in the world that there is nothing that is not beneficial for man, from the highest grade of minerals to rodents and insects. All these things, whether they are earthly or heavenly, are all projections and signs of divine attributes. And while the attributes are entirely beneficial, imagine the level of benefits in the being. It should also be remembered at this juncture that when these things sometimes prove detrimental, that happens because of our own mistake and lack of understanding, and not because these things have inherent harm in them. That it is not because they only have harm in them and nothing else. Indeed, man suffers loss and harm because of his own error and mistakes. Similarly, we experience trials and tribulations due to our lack of knowledge of some divine attributes. Or else Allah is all merciful and compassionate. The reality behind the problems we face in this world and the grief we endure is born of our own lack of insight and understanding. We do not properly understand a matter, or we do not have adequate knowledge of it. As a result of this, we face tribulations, problems, and become embroiled in difficulties. So the promised Messiah alayhi salam continues. So thus it is by virtue of this insight into divine attributes that we find Allah the Exalted to be ever merciful, noble, and beyond imagination beneficial being. Only that person can have an understanding of this benefit who becomes close to him and continuously does so. And this station is attained only by those who are called Muttaqi, the righteous, and gain nearness to Allah the Exalted. The closer a Muttaqi, a righteous person, becomes to Allah the Exalted, the greater Nuri Hadayat, the light of guidance he receives, which illuminates his awareness and senses, and further a person goes away from God, a ruinous darkness possesses his heart and mind. So much so that he becomes a representation of Summun Bukmun Umyun Fahum La Yarujiun, that they are deaf, dumb, and blind so that they will not return, and he is ruined and destroyed. Meanwhile, the person who is blessed with Nur, light, finds great pleasure and honor. God Almighty has Himself stated, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, turji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan marziya. That, and though also let peace, return to thy Lord well pleased with Him, and He well pleased with thee. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, this means, O soul at peace, and this peace is found in God. The promised Messiah on whom be peace also explained that some people are apparently satisfied by obtaining something from the government, whilst for others the source of satisfaction and tranquility is their family, children, and other people around them. However, all of this cannot provide true satisfaction, tranquility, and contentment. In fact, as they continue to seek satisfaction from these people, their thirst and yearning increases, and it is never satiated, and they are never satisfied until a person ultimately ruins them through this disease. However, Allah the Almighty says, on the other hand, that the person who finds satisfaction and tranquility through divine nearness does not care at all for all the riches and wealth he may have, as compared to God the Almighty. The world is not his ultimate objective. He finds true happiness, and he searches for true happiness, which he finds in the being of Allah the Exalted. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, these verses teach us that our true happiness lies in nearness to God and love for Him. The moment we turn away from Him and lean towards the world, we begin the life of hell. And everyone is bound to realize this sooner or later. Even if he does so when he is at death's door and is about to leave behind all his worldly possessions and relations. Nonetheless, somewhere or the other, or sometime or the other, a person comes to learn that the world is like a hell, even if it's at the time of his death, he comes to learn of this. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, "The highest delight and happiness is found in God, beyond which there is no greater happiness. Something that is concealed is called paradise. And paradise is called paradise because it contains concealed blessings. True paradise is God. Nothing bad can be attributed to Him, nor worry or concern. This is why the highest blessings of paradise are counted as Ridwanu min Allahi Akbar. Owing to his humanness, man is ever in some grief or problem. However, the more divine nearness he attains, the greater he is imbued in the color of Allah and finds real peace and comfort by relative degree to his closeness with God. Most certainly he will partake of God's blessings in accordance and will be deemed exalted, which is the meaning of Rafa. The Prophet Messiah alayhi salam says about the ending of those who try to obtain divine nearness, "One who surrenders his being to God and devotes his life and his path and is eager to do good will get his reward from the fountain of divine nearness. They shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve." In other words, one who employs all his faculties in the way of God Almighty, and whose word and deed, action and inaction, indeed his whole life is devoted to God, and who occupies himself in doing good, shall be rewarded by God Himself and shall be delivered from fear and grief. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says the prayer is a means of attaining divine nearness. He says, "The example of prayer is like a sweet water spring to which a believer has access, and he can satiate himself with it whenever he wants. Just as fish cannot live without water, similarly prayer is that water for a believer without which he cannot stay alive. The most appropriate form of such prayer is salat, prayer. So the right moment and occasion for the prayer is the salah, the formal prayer. In reality, the true prayer can be performed and offered through here." So the promised Messiah continues, "in which a believer finds delight and bliss of that level compared to which the greatest delight of which a person who is embroiled in worldly pursuits and delights that he may find in any decadence is nothing in comparison. A main accomplishment of prayer is divine nearness. It is through prayer alone that man becomes close to God Almighty and draws God to himself." So in order to obtain divine nearness, it is also necessary to fulfill the due of the formal prayer. This rite can be discharged when it is offered regularly and properly and in the manner Allah the Almighty has taught. Then drawing attention towards the standard of prayer and salah, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "Man should have a yearning to attain nearness to God, by virtue of which he will become worthy in God's sight. If he does not have this yearning and agony in his heart, and only yearns for this world and all that is in it, then ultimately he will be destroyed after a brief respite. God Almighty gives respite because he is Halim, the forbearing. But if no one takes advantage himself of his halim, his forbearance, what can be done? Man's good fortune is certainly in having a connection with Allah the Almighty. Human heart is the focal point of worship. If one worships God the Almighty, but his heart is not inclined and submitted towards God, what use would the worship be? Therefore, it is necessary that one's heart is also completely inclined towards God. It is necessary for the heart to be fully inclined towards God. Now observe, there are thousands of mosques, but only ritualistic and formal worship takes place in them. Similarly, the state of the Jews in the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was exactly the same. The worship was merely a ritual and out of habit and formality and did not have sincere inclination of the heart at all, which is the essence of worship of God. That is why God the Almighty descended His curse upon them. Thus, even now, if those who are not concerned about purity of heart go through hundreds of postures of salat as a ritual or out of habit, it will be of no avail to them. The garden of practice flourishes with purity of heart, and that is why Allah the Almighty states, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That is, only he will succeed who purifies his heart, and who does not purify it will be ruined. That is, who will make his heart a hub of selfish desires will be unsuccessful. We do not deny that there are thousands of impediments in the way to reach God. Had they not been there, there would have been no Hindu and no Christian on the face of the earth. Everyone would have been a Muslim. However, these impediments are also removed by the grace of God the Almighty. Only if He enables can man distinguish between good and bad. Therefore, the matter ultimately rests with this, that man may turn to God, so that God may grant man power and strength. Then, drawing attention towards Tawbah, repentance to attain divine nearness, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, remember well that sin is a toxin which ruins man. And not only is he ruined, but is also deprived of attaining divine nearness, and does not remain worthy of receiving this blessing. The more he turns to sin, the further he becomes from God the Almighty, and becomes distant from the light and luminosity that he once received from nearness to God the Almighty. He is thrown in darkness, and is embroiled in troubles and tribulations until such time that the most dangerous enemy, Satan, takes possession of him, and ruins him, and destroys him. However, Allah the Exalted has provided a provision, a means, to avoid this dangerous outcome, and if man avails of it, he is safe from that pit of destruction and can once again obtain divine closeness. What is that provision and means? It is Ruju'i Lillah, turning to Allah, or true Tawbah, true repentance. God Almighty's name is Tawwab, of returning. He also turns towards a person. The truth is, the actual fact of the matter is that when man sins, he becomes distant from Allah the Exalted, and God Almighty becomes remote from him. When a person sins, he becomes far removed from God, and so does God become far removed from him. However, when a person turns to God, repentant of his sins, the mercy and compassion of the ever-merciful noble God is stirred, and he pays attention and turns to his people and servants. That is why Allah the Almighty's name is also Tawwab. He also comes and turns towards a person after accepting his repentance. This is why his name is Tawwab. Thus, a person should turn towards his Lord so that he too turns towards him with mercy and blessings. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, Islam teaches that means of salvation which has been in truth appointed by God the Almighty from the very beginning, and that is to look for the station of God's nearness with true belief and pure practices, and by being absorbed in God's pleasure. With effort made to attain his nearness and pleasure, because all destruction and turmoil is in being distant from God the Almighty and in His wrath. So thus, when a person becomes close to God Almighty by virtue of sincere repentance, by adopting sincere means and attaining sincere obedience and sincerely accepting unity of God, then that punishment and turmoil is removed from him. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, speaking about performing amale saliha, pious righteous deeds, in a general way, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, amale saliha, righteous deeds, are a great blessing. God Almighty is pleased with righteous deeds, and through them, divine nearness is attained. However, just as the last sip of alcohol is the most intoxicating, similarly, the blessings of Amale Saliha, righteous deeds, are latent in the lasting good. The person who perseveres and takes Amale Saliha, righteous deeds, to the highest point is blessed. But the person who abandons every Amale Saliha, righteous deed, halfway through and does not take it to its requisite excellence, remains deprived of these blessings. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, I know that a true believer is purified and he is imbibed in the color of angels. Just as his closeness to God Almighty is strengthened, he listens to the word of God the Almighty and is assured and gains satisfaction by it. Each one of you may reflect and ponder in your heart whether you have attained this station. I say truly that you are content on the outer shell alone, whereas it is nothing, and God Almighty is interested in the inner kernel. So thus, just as it is my task to stop the external attacks on Islam, it is also my task to instill the true spirit and inner essence of Islam among Muslims. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, a person's honor and respect is in it alone, and it is the greatest wealth and blessing to have nearness to Allah the Exalted. When a person becomes close to God, Allah the Almighty showers thousands of blessings on him, both from the earth as well as from the heavens. How much force did the Quraysh exert to uproot the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They were an entire nation, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was all by himself. But look, who was successful and who was failed? Divine help and succor is a great sign of those who are close to God the Almighty. Drawing our attention towards the standards of attaining nearness to God the Almighty, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, be very weary of God's curse, for he is holy and with honor. The wicked cannot attain God's nearness, and the arrogant cannot attain his nearness. The unjust cannot attain his nearness. The disloyal cannot attain his nearness. Anyone who does not have sense of honor for his name cannot attain his nearness. Those who fall on this world, like dogs, ants, or vultures, and find comfort in worldly things, cannot attain his nearness. Each impure eye is distant from him, and each impure heart is unaware of him. One who burns for him will be given salvation from the fire, and one who weeps for him will laugh, and one who breaks off with the world for him will find him. Become God's friend with sincerity of heart, complete honesty and eagerness. He too will become your friend. Be kind to your subordinates, your wives, and your needy brothers, so that kindness is shown to you in the heavens. Truly become his, so that he too becomes yours. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, speaks about how Allah the Almighty shows his sense of honor for those who are close to him and ruins the opponents. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, when contempt and persecution reaches its pinnacle and height, when one attains nearness to Allah the Almighty, then how does he show his sense of honor? The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, when contempt and persecution reaches its pinnacle and height, and a trial that God had willed comes to pass, is when God Almighty's sense of honor for his friends is stirred. God looks at them and finds them the victims and sees that they are persecuted and abused. They are branded disbelievers unjustly and hounded by the oppressors. So he rises so that he can fulfill his way for them and demonstrate his mercy and help his pious servants and people. Thus, Allah the Almighty puts it in their hearts to be fully attentive to God the Almighty and humbly supplicate day and night to him. And thus his way continues as regards to those who are close to him. Ultimately, wealth and help is given to them, and God Almighty makes their enemies fodder for lions and cheetahs. Thus continues the way of Allah for the sincere. They are not wasted but are blessed. They are not slighted but are given eminence. Undoubtedly, we have observed exactly this to be God's Almighty's treatment with the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Allah the Almighty disgraced and ruined his opponents. This did not happen once or twice, but it happened repeatedly, again and again, in different areas, in different countries, where the detractors and enemies of Ahmadiyyat were disgraced, humiliated and destroyed. Today also, we continue to experience such things. Once again, I would like to draw the attention of the members of the Jamaat and the Ahmadis of Pakistan in particular, that Allah the Almighty's chastisement, wrath against the enemies of Ahmadiyyat, will most certainly come into motion and come to pass, and it will definitely do so, inshallah. We see its manifestations on smaller scales. But if we want to see these manifestations rapidly and on a larger scale, then every single Ahmadi living in Pakistan and every single Ahmadi connected to Pakistan needs to further develop and strengthen the relationship and nearness to God the Almighty. Cast the world behind and move onwards and upwards in your standard of closeness and nearness to Allah the Almighty. For this, you would have to make efforts so that we can rapidly observe these manifestations. Generally, Ahmadis of the world also need to pay special attention to this. This is so. In the world, Satan's kingdom can rapidly be eliminated, and the kingdom of those who are close to Allah the Almighty can be established in the world instead. May Allah the Exalted enable us to make these prayers, and may He include us in those people who are close to Allah the Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.